Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Juval Hub podcast, your helping hand in property management education. Thank you for supporting the show. I'm your host, Jonathan Saar. And with me today, as always, is the amazing Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts. What's happening, man?
Hey, buddy. How are you? Good to see you. Yeah, everything is good here in my world.
Good, good. So we got an awesome discussion today about tackling the challenge of difficult conversations in the workplace. And whether it's giving, you know, criticism, critiquing, admonishment, whatever the case may be, it's never easy. And knowing how to handle these situations can be challenging. So we're looking forward to getting your thoughts on that. Know you have a ton of experience in it. We've all been there. And it'll be a nice discussion with some community feedback too.
Yeah.
So what are the objectives of today's episode?
Yeah, we've got some good ones. So, you know, I think we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when issues are not talked about or talked out, you know, like what happens when you don't want to address them, how to give constructive feedback that shows that you actually care about them and maybe even the conversation, and how does embracing tough workplace conversations make you feel better as a leader or make you a better leader?
Yeah. Excellent questions, excellent objectives. So we look forward to chatting about those one at a time. And a big shout out and thank you to all those who participated in our LinkedIn poll. And maybe we can kind of serve that as a part of a framework for our conversation today. So we put out a poll on LinkedIn, which was real simple. How do you handle tough conversations at work? Three results, blunt and to the point, avoid them at all costs, and focus on the positive. 58% said blunt and to the point, and 42% said focus on the positive. And then we have some nice comments from a few different people, which we're going to reference throughout the show. So thank you, everyone, for participating in that poll. It was interesting to see, not surprising that there was nobody who said avoid them, but, you know, almost a decent split on how you go about them, blunt or focusing on the positive when you're in that tough conversation. So let's kick it off though with the first question, and we'll get your thoughts on it, Mark. So what have you seen? What do you teach? What happens when tough issues at work are not talked out, not talked about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I love the poll and then the results to this. I think I agree. I like for people to just be direct, maybe a little more blunt. I think I've been accused of that. Excuse me. But I feel like I just kind of say what's on my mind. But as I have grown and gotten a little more professional, I realize that there's so many layers to that. People don't always respect blunt conversations. They don't, if you're not emotional intelligent enough or savvy enough with your bluntness, your blunt comments, it can definitely push people away from you. And that can hurt your relationship, your working relationship in the long run. And so, but yes, I love the topic. I've done research on it. I teach some of my clients how to handle difficult conversations in the workplace, whether that be with their clients, residents, or even each other. For me, one of the first tactics that I always talk to them about is, and it's even in this article, it was a New York Times bestseller, Crucial Conversations, and it talks about shoe shifting, trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes first. When you don't want to address or handle a difficult or crucial conversation, or what's even worse is that when you do it without using some of the tools and techniques, you become too blunt or too aggressive almost. You're not really letting other people be heard. And I think that's where the conversation becomes a little more difficult for even them. But I love the topic. I love the information that I have been able to gather and some of the material I think you might even walk us through, Jonathan. But for me, my biggest, there are two, my biggest sort of takeaways or things that I would say, try doing this first would be the shoe shifting. Put yourself in that person's shoes. How do you think they truly feel about the conversation that you're about to engage in? Don't just be one-sided. Imagine, are you the person that holds the power? So when you think about why a conversation has become difficult or who it's difficult for, and if you're the person that holds the power in the conversation, if you're their boss, their leader, someone that controls their livelihood, then you have the power. You have more power over that conversation than you realize. And what you say and do next affects how they will treat you and how they will behave for your organization in the future. The other thing that I always love to talk about and say is knowing their story. If you can, in ways where if you're spending time with your employees, when you know what, I'm doing air quotes, if you know what someone's story is, that means where did they come from? What kind of background do they have? What are their triggers? So mm-hmm. when you find out more about the people that you work closely with, you will start to understand what their story is and how to avoid some of those triggers. But a lot of deep layers here, man. So I don't know if we have, you know, all that time to go into that good stuff, but two of my most favorite pieces of this topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I as always with this show, it's to get community feedback and raise awareness, you know, because sometimes it's obviously with tough conversations, it creates its anxiety, you know, it creates its own level of stress. You know, I was telling you about stuff going on in my world before we got on here, and I'm drinking some kombucha right now to keep my stomach settled. So, right. You know, it's tough conversations can make you feel uneasy. But we're seeing what's the result when perhaps tough conversations are avoided. There's absolutely no doubt that that's contributing to why people continue to move from one job to the next, why For sure. there is a talent issue within our industry, why there's such a high turnover. You know, those are all things that are contributing to it. So to sum it up, being able to create an environment where we can address those tough conversations is going to help with overall morale, and it's going to help with retention. That's unequivocally, it would be really hard for someone to have an opinion that would say that retention in employee talent has nothing to do with managing critical conversations or difficult conversations, because they just exist. They're always there. There's always things that have to be discussed. And you know, you mentioned that that book that some of our commenters on LinkedIn referenced, Crucial Conversations. So thank you to Laurel Zacher. Looks like Laurel referenced it, Kara Rice, and I saw one more, and Sharon Kauthen. I hope I pronounced your name right. So thank you for referencing that book and a couple of good books that are mentioned in those LinkedIn comments. On how to deal with these things. So thank you for referencing those. So let's go to our next objective, Mark. So it's interesting the contrast between blunt and focusing on the positive. You know, so very two distinct ways of approaching conversations. So how, in your opinion, how does it show that you care? And does that even matter? Like having those conversations difficult, how should it show that you care? And does that, is that even, should that even be a factor? What's your thoughts?
Absolutely. Listen, I think the majority of the people that are in our workforce today are what we call the millennials and the Z, is it Z's, X's? No, I can't remember. The Z's, I think. So if you think about their mindset, the mentality is, you know, they want to be heard. And that's very clear. It is very clear that this generation and the generations to come, they want one-on-one time. They want to be heard. They have concerns. And so if you're a leader of an organization or of people, and you don't heed to some of this advice that, you know, how do you add value back into a difficult conversation or to your employees, then no wonder, it's like you said, Jonathan, no wonder people are leaving your organization. There is a common denominator there, right? And yeah. A lot of people will always tell me, like, it's not always about the money. It's about how they feel they're being treated or how they feel they're being hurt. I have left organizations before because of the way that I was just spoken to or treated in yep. a, such a disrespectful manner that I just knew, like, I don't want my experience, my years of experience to be, you know, devalued. And so my advice is create value in your conversation. As a leader, if you know that you're about to have a difficult conversation with someone, you need to show them there are ways that you create value, right? And it is about showing them that you're human first, letting your the people that report to you or work for you in your organization, first of all, if they know that you're human, where mm-hmm. you show emotion, you show moments of weakness of yourself or of kindness, you're joking, you know, more of your laughter side, that sort of fun side, then people understand that you're human. And what I have known about my, even kind of growing up, my parents, so I always used to think my parents were always right, you know, like everything they taught me, well, they taught me they were right. Well, as I became an adult, I realized they're not always right. They're just human and they made mistakes along the way. So it's kind of the same principle. It's like, no one expects you to be perfect. Stop trying to act like you're perfect. Stop trying to have conversations where you're the smartest person in the room. Be vulnerable. Show them that you can be human, that you can add value into the conversation. What that also means is, you know, how do you add value into a conversation? You make the person that you're talking to feel valuable by telling them, like, thank you for what you do for our organization. And here's what I see you contribute. And here's what I love that, you know, I see about you and your work or whatever. And so for me, adding value can also help sort of protect the longevity of that employee, because then they see, wow, this person really watches my work and thanks me for my work. I actually worked for a woman once who never said anything to me, never said I did a good job or a bad job, nothing at all. And there are in communication, there's good, bad, and then nothing at all. That is the worst. If you never tell someone you're either doing a really great job or you're doing a really bad job here, right. You know, to not hear anything at all means that you don't care anything about my work. There's no value at all. So that's my advice. Find a way to add value to them and to your conversation.
Yeah. Nice context, man. You know, I liked all the kind of visuals you gave of just what people are facing and understanding the impact it can have. And I think to your last point there too, especially with the someone who doesn't say anything at all, you know, it's tough to get past that reputation. And I feel like with tough conversations, you create your own pattern, and your employees know what that pattern is, and they will pick up on it to be able to determine how you feel about a tough conversation. So it's interesting, this one comment from LinkedIn, Mike Brewer from Radco Residential. And for everyone listening, make sure you check out his podcast, The Multifamily Collective. Excellent. Mike's an awesome, he's got just, anyway, he's a podcast master, that dude. But I love his comment here when it came to the poll. How do you handle tough conversations at work? It's a mix of one and three for the most part. He's talking about himself, but I'm guilty of number two on occasion. It's largely dependent on the level of trust that I've built with the team member. The more trust, the more blunt, less trust, less blunt. So interesting perspective. And when I think of how it relates to, you know, our second objective here, like how constructive feedback, how it shows that you care, it's from that comment, it's like, is that how you're known overall? Like outside of those times when you have to give constructive feedback, do your employees feel that you care? And if that's your reputation, then it makes it easier. It makes it a lot easier to be able to have those difficult or tough conversations, in my opinion, as opposed to you looking at a conversation and having to have some sort of a scale of, okay, how many things do I need to make sure I say nice about this person before I start talking about the things that they perhaps need some help with? And you're going through like a critical thinking approach on how to have that conversation. I resonate with Mike's comment there. And I think you do too, Mike or Mark, based on your feedback, that if we're trusted, it's going to be easier to have those conversations. Is that how you feel?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, look, as a leader, it is your job to make sure that the people that work for your organization trust you. Not everyone is meant to be a leader. And many people fall into these roles that really shouldn't, and then end up doing more damage in an organization and to other people's ability to feel good about themselves, which to me is very damaging. But, you know, it's like you said, Mike said he falls to number two, just to avoid them altogether. I've seen many, many leaders do that, avoid them at all costs, whether that's difficult conversations or the employee, whatever. But when your employees know that they can trust you and mm-hmm. know that no matter what mistake they've made, no matter where the conversation has to go, that it will be met with a solution that will benefit both them and the organization, the company, then they're more likely to feel more relaxed about bringing issues to you. What the worst thing that can happen is that when leaders don't build that trust in their teams, and rather than their teams coming to them and addressing, hey, I'm unhappy with this, or this is what's going on, or I've made this mistake, a lot of people will just quit. They'll just throw down their keys and leave because they don't know that there is a way to find the solution, because you as the leader have not shown them that you're capable of doing that with them. Very, very, very dangerous in my book. And yes, I've seen it. It's happened to me. So I have lived it. But yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah. Very good. Very cool. Okay. So I guess the summation of that objective is, you know, what is your reputation? What are you known for?
What's that old saying? I know I've said this before. When people show you who they are, believe them. I think this is very applicable here too. But it's like you said, if I see that you are willing to handle things calmly and you're willing to have conversations, then that's what I'll always know about you and the future. But once you show me that you are unwilling or that you don't have the emotional capacity or intelligence to calmly address it, then I'll never bring anything to you again. And so I go back to that statement. Once someone shows you who they are, believe them, because that's who they are to their core.
Right, right. Very good. Very good. Okay, so that leads us to our third objective here. How does embracing tough workplace conversations make you a better leader? And before we dive into that, I wanted to just kind of drop down to my friend, Eric Brown from Urbane Apartments. So I've known Eric a long time, probably I think as long as you, Mark, and Mike Brewer. Go way back. Dude's a guru in property management. I always value his opinion. And it's interesting how he looks at this question, and you can look it up. We'll have a link in the show notes to the comments on that LinkedIn post if anyone wants to kind of see the full version of it. But he talks about the culture that we're in and how often it's like more of a slogan versus it is reality. In his opinion, that workplace core culture is fear, and that the employee owns his or her own power only by walking away, except they don't. It's easier to stay and yammer about how abusive the boss is. Some may appear to listen, someone above them isn't listening. So anyway, nice little, overall commentary on, we've talked about it on different shows too. Sometimes, an organization can get so big that there's going to be disconnects, and one person's perception of a particular cultural value within an organization is different than another's and how they read it. So that comes back to the question though, I think this question kind of has two lines to it. How does embracing tough workplace conversations make you a better leader? So let's focus on an individual level, and thinking of Eric's comments there, he's speaking from a corporate perspective. But even if we feel that our personal values may not be the standard that's being set, is it still important to keep building ourselves personally as a leader and being able to embrace those conversations? Another one of my epic long questions, Mark. So go for it.
Yeah, you've got some deep ones today, man. Glad I'm prepared. Listen, I think we've been talking about this. If you want, and let me back up and say this. Good leaders, there's a difference between a manager and a leader, and very great leaders will do all of the things that we were talking about to truly lead their people. They are servant leaders. Servant leadership is one. If you don't know what that means, look that up. Are you truly a servant leader? Great, powerful leaders from the past and even from the present are people that truly are servants to their employees, and they build trust, they build honesty. And that is why, I won't use their name, there is a company in our industry that tends to hang on to their employees. And someone even used their name the other day when somebody was asking me, where are all the good applicants? They were like, it is such a struggle bus for finding new applicants in our world, in our industry. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm sure they're out there. What's going on? Tell me about it. And someone said, well, all the good ones are over at, XYZ company. And I thought, well, that can't possibly be true. One company can't, foster all of the great talent that we have. But then it made me really start thinking about the leadership in that organization. And these are the people that do exactly what we've been talking about. So to answer your question, if you want to be a great leader, and that is the role that you have chosen to be in, then do that. Be a great leader. Research, read articles, find ways to increase your emotional intelligence, to, increase your bandwidth on someone else's life. Do the shoe shifting. Find out what their story is. Find out their love languages. Make yourself a leader that people truly want to follow. If you're not doing that, then you're not retaining your best talent. Your best talent will look for leaders that will guide them in that method, that manner. I know for me, I will never again in my career follow a half-cocked leader. I always want to put myself aligned with some of the best. Because no matter how old I get and no matter how long I've been in the industry, why in the world would I ever settle for just status quo? Nobody in our world is going to want that. They're always going to want to be better. So if you are their leader, then be better. And I said this to someone else recently, you chose to be here. You chose this job, right? You chose this industry. You chose this job. So when I was talking to a group of people in a training, I was like, you're the ones that chose to be here. So be here, make it worth your time, make it worth the effort, that if you're going to wake up every day and put on this professional, whatever suit, if you want to call it a suit or face, then my gosh, make it impactful, be something great for someone during that day, that time.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, man. Yeah. That's awesome. We can't, we can't let other people's particular decisions and how they go about things to affect our overall goals as a leader. So great comments, great references. And you said a couple things that made me have a little visual too, because it's not like you can walk into tough conversations and think, okay, you know, I took a course on this, how to deal with, there is no course. There is nothing that's just like, will actually really prepare you for a tough conversation until you get into a tough conversation and how you deal with it. And you're going to learn from how you dealt with that tough conversation and you're going to improve upon it. It's like, you know, I mountain bike a ton and I've biked with people who have never gone up the hill. Like they're the type of bikers, they love biking and that's fine, but they're like, kind of like the trail, like whatever the community trail, it's nice. It's fun. It's a good ride. It's a good exercise until you go mountain biking and you hit that first hill you've never ever gone, it will knock you off of your bike because it's difficult. But the more that you do it, the more your skill is going to get there and you're not going to run out of breath. Same thing for tough conversations to me. It's like that first hill, that first time you do it, you have to do your own kind of like emotional check. How did I do? What did I say? How did it make me feel? How did it make the person feel that I was talking to? What were the results? And then circle back and like do like a reflection on all of those items. And that will guide you to, you know, doing better, perhaps for that next tough conversation that's going to come. You know, and again, I thank Eric for his comment. We're dealing with, you know, such an ongoing shift from a corporate perspective. You know, I think that's probably another whole topic at some point to get into about how do you deal with that. But it does come down to us as individuals, as leaders, and how we can make a difference in someone's day who we don't know all of the other hundreds of challenges that they're already facing in that day. And we have to talk to them about some policy that they broke or some resident complaint and still give them validation for all of the hard work that they do and be able to deliver it in a way that they're going to digest and know that, as you mentioned, Mark, that you care about them, and that you want them to succeed in their job. So a lot of emotion in this topic, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Well, until the next time, then. let's wrap it up there. Tough conversation. So thank you, everyone, for, again, contributing to that poll. Thank you for your comments on LinkedIn. That was a huge, huge help. And a bonus for this particular show to get your feedback. And we're going to continue to use polls for some of our shows as they come up to get your feedback on these topics, because your opinion and your experience and your perspective matters to all of our community. So make sure if you haven't subscribed to us on your favorite podcast app, please do that. Please give us a review. We are also on YouTube and on Instagram at JuvoHub. And if there are topics that you would like for us to discuss on the show, please reach out to Mark or I. We'd be happy to connect with you and get those topics from you. Mark, how can everyone connect with you?
Absolutely. So it's Mark Howell. I'm on LinkedIn, Mark Howell. My company name is Howell Creative Concepts, which is spelled H-O-W-L. So howellcreativeconcepts.com.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to episode 69. Until next time, class dismissed.
Bye-bye.